The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What does Romans 10:9-13 mean when it mentions confessing with the mouth? Well, that is what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for coming along for the ride today. Now, before we get to our discussion, I want to remind you about our national conference. It is a great time of fellowship and Bible teaching. The National Conference 2009 was when I was introduced to Free Grace Theology, and I have been thankful ever since. I certainly hope to see you at the National Conference. Now, you can find out more about the National Conference by going to faithalone.org. There, you can click on events, find out more about how it works, and you can even register right there on the site. We hope to see you there. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back. Thank you for listening to Grace in Focus. If you're a new listener, I'm glad that you're with us. And if you've been listening for a long time, I hope that you continue to enjoy the program. Right now, we're in the middle of a series. We're coming to the end of a series, really, on Wayne Grudem's book, Free Grace Theology, Five Ways It Diminishes the Gospel, where he criticizes free grace theology for different reasons. So we're in the fifth chapter, which is Unlikely Interpretations. That's what the title is. And Grudem just picks out some of these unlikely interpretations to show where he thinks that free grace theology is wrong. You know, free grace theology is basically the idea that we're saved by faith apart from works. And Jesus gives us everlasting life, not a chance to be saved, but everlasting life. It's irrevocable.
Right.
You know, the moment you believe, you have it, and your position before God has changed forever. And there is a lot of tons of clear verses that teach that. In fact, you wrote a book called Faith Alone in 100 Verses.
Right.
Okay. Now, it's absolutely, so there's a lot of clear, absolutely unambiguous evidence that we're saved by faith apart from works. And I think Grudem would even admit that because formally, at least, he says he believes in salvation by faith apart from works. So he knows he's supposed to believe that.
Right.
He knows that it's in Scripture. But my point is, there's lots of clear verses. So I don't, and I get it. There are problem verses. There are tough texts. Let's say all of these interpretations were questionable. That still wouldn't show that free grace is wrong because free grace is based on tons of extremely clear verses.
You're making a great point here, Sean. We base our theology not on problem passages,
right,
but on absolutely crystal clear passages. For example, if we want to know what a person needs to do to be born again,
yeah,
we go to the Gospel of John and we look to verses like John 3:16,
yeah,
or John 5:24 that are crystal clear that the one who believes has everlasting life. And if we want to look at verses on eternal rewards, we take passages that are crystal clear, like, for example, Luke 19, verses 16 to 26 with the parable of the minas.
Right.
Or we'd look at a passage like 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10,
right,
or 1 Corinthians 9, 24
right
to 27. We take clear passages. We don't go to the unclear ones.
And I think maybe that's what the whole point of chapter 5 is. I mean, for Grudem, I guess he thinks these problem passages just show that free grace theology isn't true.
Right. Are you familiar with the term showstoppers?
Yeah.
A showstopper in the case of theology would be some verse that absolutely proves that someone's theology is wrong. But he's trying to do 11 because he thinks that these 11, the preponderance of evidence, should convince the reader. Of course, he's not even trying to convince the reader. He's writing to people who already agree with him.
Right. Here's what Romans 10:9-13 says, and we've talked about this on the show before, but I guess we'll present what Grudem thinks it means and then respond to what Grudem says. It's a very famous verse. Everyone knows this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Now, that's not the New King James translation.
Uh-huh.
The New King James is slightly different, but we can work with his. In fact, his translation is even clearer on the condition of justification.
So Grudem says, "This is a continuation of Paul's heartfelt desire for his Jewish kinsmen who have rejected Jesus as their Messiah to be saved, a theme that began in 9:1 and is continued throughout chapters 9, 10, and 11. The repeated theme of chapters 9 to 11 is Paul's longing for the Jewish people to obtain righteousness through faith in Christ, not, quote, to obtain his aid and deliverance in daily life," end quote. Grudem goes on to say on page 130, "Eternal salvation of the Jewish people is Paul's entire concern in this chapter, and the context gives no hint of discussing deliverance from dangers in everyday life."
Well, what I would suggest, first of all, Grudem, even in the few verses that he quotes from 9 to 13, he's not even commenting on the verses or noticing what the verses say. And I'll pick up on that in a second.
Okay.
But secondly, he does not cite what Hodges says salvation is in Romans. Hodges has a commentary on Romans, which we published, which was available to him. He could have quoted from it extensively. Plus, Hodges comments on that a lot in his various books. Hodges' view, which I think is the correct view, is that salvation in Romans is deliverance from God's wrath. In fact, that's the subtitle of Hodges' commentary on Romans.
Yeah.
The point is, he establishes that all the way through the book, there's a distinction between justification and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Justification in Romans is being declared righteous. Salvation in Romans is the deliverance of born-again people from God's wrath in this life.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what translation Grudem is citing, but notice the translation of verse 9. "For with the heart one believes and is justified." So according to Grudem's own translation, what's the condition of justification?
Believe.
What about confession? Oh, no, it goes on to say, "And with the mouth one confesses and is saved."
Right.
So if Grudem's going to say that justification and salvation are the same here, then why is it they have different conditions?
Well, Grudem says they aren't different conditions, and he quotes Leon Morris as saying, "We should understand them to be closely related as the outward and inward aspects of the same thing. Paul does not contemplate an inner state that is not reflected in outward conduct. If anyone really believes, he will confess Christ. So it is natural to link the two," end quote. And that's Leon Morris. So he says, when Paul mentions the need to both confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, he's not adding to faith another requirement of verbal confession.
Leon Morris says they're closely related. How is closely related the same thing?
Yeah, I'm closely related to my sister, but we're not the same person.
Right. Well, how about this? If you can say that confession is closely related to belief, couldn't you say baptism is closely related to belief?
Right.
And don't a lot of Anglicans say that baptism is the outward expression of belief?
Right.
And that unless you're baptized, you're not born again?
Right. I guess I wonder, you know, if I was trying to argue their position. I mean, it's the difference between having a thought and speaking a thought, right? Is it really?
Right. It is.
It's the same. That's very close, you know? We wouldn't say that we're saved by not speaking about eternal life. You know what I mean? Like, you can believe it, but don't say anything about it, because saying something about it is completely different.
No, we say is you're justified by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're delivered from God's wrath by calling out to the Lord.
Right.
By the way, verse 13 is parallel to verse 10. So calling on the name of the Lord is the same. Now, his translation is a poor one, I think, when it says that with your mouth you confess that Jesus is Lord. I think a better translation would be you confess Lord Jesus.
Okay.
And this is, Hodges argues that's part of the believing community.
And
when you're in worship week in and week out, you are calling on the Lord to bless you and to deliver you.
And so I think this is an important point. So for Grudem, quoting Morris, they're just thinking confession and belief is basically just Hebrew parallelism. It's basically the same concept expressed in a slightly different way. But Zane Hodges would say, no, confessing the Lord, when you look at it biblically, it means something. It's not just a synonym for faith. It means something in the Old Testament scriptures. And that's what Paul is referring to here. And it means something about the community actually calling out to the Lord for deliverance.
Yeah, and you see that in Genesis, I believe it starts in chapter 5, and it says men began to call on the name of the Lord.
Right.
Well, that is not the same as believing and being born again.
Yeah.
This is a calling out to him. By the way, verse 13, and we've discussed this in other shows, mm-hmm. makes it very clear that the one calling on the Lord is a believer, not an unbeliever.
Right, and so what happens first is you believe in the heart, and then you confess.
Right.
And so as a general response to Grudem, Grudem says, Zane Hodges totally misses that this is all about Israel's eternal salvation. And then we would say, no, he realizes that eternal salvation is happening here. That's what the believing is about.
Right.
But there's also...
what he calls justification.
Justification. But there's also, and this is what Grudem doesn't see, there's also deliverance from wrath in here as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't Paul know that Israel is going to experience God's wrath in the upcoming Jewish war in 66 to 70? I mean, Jesus had said that was going to occur. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He had said the temple was going to be destroyed. And Paul knows this is coming. Paul also knows the tribulation is coming. He wrote about that a lot in
right.
his letters.
Right.
And so Paul knows that Israel will one day be delivered from the tribulation wrath.
Right.
And Paul's desire in Romans 10:1 is that Israel would be delivered from wrath right then. He wanted the kingdom to come then.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't talking about my desire is Israel would be born again. He's talking about the national salvation of Israel, meaning that it's not just a believing nation, but it's also a repentant nation.
Right.
And that means Messiah would come and establish his kingdom and deliver them from what's going to occur during the tribulation.
So we would say, or Zane would say, you'd say in Romans 9-11, it includes the idea of Israel being justified.
Sure.
But it goes beyond that.
Far beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Grudem doesn't see that. He only sees one type of salvation, and he interprets it all.
What the triumphal entry is all about, Zechariah 9:9 and
right.
10. He's bringing salvation, and the salvation he's bringing is the Messianic kingdom. Well, thank you for hanging with us today. And if you'd like more information on this, see my book, Grudem Against Grace, A Defense of Free Grace Theology, available at faithalone.org or at amazon.com. And there you will find a full explanation of everything that Grudem talks about. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to examine the meaning of Paul's words, examine yourselves. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.